Kate Photographer. Welcome to the Book More Clients Photography Podcast. Do you want to learn how to market your business and have consistent bookings? Do you search for how to get your name out there and attract quality clients? Do you feel lonely and frustrated when you scroll through social media and comparison takes over again? Hey, I'm Brooke Jefferson. I too was trying to build my photography business while working a full-time job and trying to be an intentional wife and mama of two. I wanted to feel confident in my work, have a fully booked calendar, and grow my photography business from part-time to full-time so I could leave my teaching job and have more freedom with my family. But I believed that I wasn't good enough and couldn't do it in the mama cracks of my day, which kept me stuck for far too long. I finally decided to take matters into my own hands by getting out of my own way, investing in mentors, and not being afraid to fail forward. You don't have to stay stuck trying to figure it all out. I teach you how to build a profitable photography business through business tips, marketing strategies, and mindset tools. Charge your camera batteries and grab your coffee. It's time to ditch the excuses and book more clients. All right, welcome to the show. I'm so excited to have you here. I want to start off with first you telling us who you are and what you do.
Sure. Hi, thanks for having me. My name is Anami Tonkin. I am a family photographer, have been since 2010, which is 13 years now. It's crazy. I'm based in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, and I am a business educator for other photographers. I love geeking out on all things business and marketing and all that sort of stuff. So on that side of my business is called This Can't Be That Hard.
I love it. I love it so much. Okay. One of the things that I want to hear really quickly before we dive into all of this goodness is a little bit about your photography background. I think it's just interesting to hear other people's stories and backgrounds and how we got to this position that we're in. So I'd love to hear a little bit about that for you.
Yeah. So I am not the person who was carrying a camera around, you know, inside the womb. I got into photography in my late 20s after my older son was born. So I do have that common story. Before I was a photographer, I had kind of a few different career paths and was working at that point as a nurse. I was in a master's program to become a midwife, and then my second son was born and I was having this like crisis of, this actually isn't the career path that I really want, but you know, what are you going to do? I'm 30. I can't change careers now. And I didn't know what I wanted to do or what I wanted to be. And I was talking to a friend of mine and they were like, oh, well, you're really great at taking pictures. You know, I was doing it purely for fun of my son and just, you know, loving that. And I like nearly laughed them out of the room. I was like, yeah, that's not a career. And I think if someone were to say that now to someone, maybe it wouldn't seem that crazy because I feel like professional photography has come a long way. It's much more in the public eye. But at the time I was just like, that's crazy. But like the seed was planted. And so I took a leave of absence from my master's program and I registered for a photography class because I was very self-taught and felt super imposter syndrome-y about it. And also a business class at the local, I'm based in Chapel Hill, like I said, so the local college is UNC Chapel Hill's big school. So I registered for these two courses and 8 months later, I was applying for a business license and I've been in business ever since.
Oh my goodness, there's so much to unpack just from that story. So first of all, I feel like a lot of us can relate to doing something else before making photography our thing. And a lot of people are still in a different career path, trying to build this up to be something that they can fall back on. I have several students who are nurses, former teachers. I'm a former teacher. Yeah. And just people everywhere. The second thing I have to point out, 30's not old. I turned 30 this year. So I'm not saying it's old. What I'm saying is how cool that you aren't like 19 and just decided to start up a photography sure. business, but that you were already well established and you thought, hey, okay, let's do this. And so you did it. And I just think that's so encouraging for someone to hear. It does not matter how old you are, you can start a photography business. And so I just thought that was super inspiring. And I wanted to point out those two things. So
yeah, I definitely agree with you 100%. And it's funny, I mean, now I'm 43. So now I look back and I'm like, yeah, 30, why in the world did I feel like I was locked into something? I joke around that was sort of my gateway decision that has opened up a path of other decisions for me. And making that leap felt super scary at the time, even though I did it in a very, you know, I ran both, I kept working and started my business. Like I did it safely because we needed that income and I needed to make sure that the business was financially feasible before I quit my other job. But it still felt like a huge leap of faith. And then that has made it so that I personally am much more comfortable making those kinds of choices now, even though arguably like now I have even less room to make, you know, for error in my decision making life. But anyway, so if you are listening and you're someone who is at the horns of that particular dilemma, I absolutely would say, you know, go for it. Your life is long. Life is filled with all kinds of decisions that don't really have a right or wrong. The wrong ones are really the ones that you don't explore when you've got that sort of seed of inspiration.
And I love the inspiration that you just gave. I hope that was a kick in the pants or, you know, for someone that really needed to hear that. I love it. That's such good advice. So, yeah. Okay. So moving into the hot topics, everyone always says, Brooke, I want you to teach me more marketing. Teach me more marketing. My marketing's not working, or I think I'm marketing and doing a good job, but it turns out I'm actually not. So I'm excited to really dive into this side of marketing. And then also like, how do we really capture those leads, or how do we win at the booking process? And so I know you are going to have a lot of good advice for us today. And again, the cool thing is everybody is their own CEO. They get to take ideas they love and they can leave the rest. And so I'm just excited to have this open conversation and hear what some of your tips are for that. So I'm going to hand it over to you. Take us down marketing. What do we need to know about marketing in right now, 2023?
Yeah. Well, I mean, marketing is a huge topic, right? And it's one of those things, you're absolutely right. It's the same thing I hear all the time. Like, we need more marketing. I need to get more clients. Getting clients is hard and it is a long game. That's my number one answer about marketing is always like anybody who tells you, you know, yes, there are like little tips and hacks and whatever that you can use to like get a client tomorrow. But really, when it comes to good marketing, what you want to be doing is building a system that's bringing in a steady stream of inquiries and qualified leads for, you know, week after week after week for the long haul. And that does take time to build. There's lots of things to sort of lots of ways to go about that. But what I want to talk about today is kind of the I want to flip the idea of I need more clients on its head and say, okay, sure. Yes, we all need clients in order to run our businesses because clients are what bring us money. But a lot of times when I talk to people who are saying, I need more clients, when I then ask them, well, how many sessions did you book out of the people who contacted you last year or last month or whatever? Typically, that proportion is kind of low. So they're talking about like a 10 or a 20% booking rate from, you know, if they get a DM on Instagram or somebody reaches out and they send them their price list and that they get ghosted or, you know, there's. And what I would say is that if you are in a place where you are really actively trying to increase the number of bookings that you get, if your booking rate is less than, let's say, 50 to 60%, the first thing you do before you go trying to, you know, commit to doing 5 Instagram posts every day for a month or anything like that, the first thing you need to do is work on your booking process and your fulfillment process. So what is it that you are offering to people? And then how are you conveying that to people in such a way that instead of one person out of every 10 people that hires you or 3 people out of every 10, you have 6 or 7 or 8? Because if you're getting a 60 or a 70 or an 80% booking rate, all of a sudden your need to market to the masses to get your business out in front of a million people becomes much less, you know, that's a much less pressing need. Does that make sense?
That makes total sense. And this again, I love this same wavelength, because a lot of times we do hear, I need to book more clients. And sure, you're right. You probably do, especially if you feel like you're in this desperation stage where you feel like your business isn't working. And one of the, you brought up two great points. One of the things I like to lead people back to is, well, first of all, let's look at what are you presenting?
Mm-hmm.
Are you following up? Are you just like sending your stuff and just thinking that's enough and they're going to book you? And I feel like that even the inquiry to the booking process is really where there's holes. And that's the first place I also like to go look. And so I love that. I'm just resonating and just like clapping everything that you're saying, because I agree 100% that that is usually where those loopholes are.
Yeah. And I think that that's a hard thing for people to hear, because it takes it away from the like, oh, the algorithm is screwing me up. Or if I just had, X number of more followers, and it puts it back in the ball goes back in your court, and all of a sudden you have more work to do. And I mean, I think that that's a hard thing sometimes for all of us to hear, but I like to think of it as also an empowering thing, because if you can get to a place where your systems for both booking and delivering on the work that you do are really dialed in, then when you do turn up the gas on your marketing efforts and you're, whether you're paying for ads or you are going to a trade show or some sort of like, bridal show or whatever, and you're getting those leads, then you know that every single one of those leads has a higher proportion of potentially turning into a customer. So it is, even though it feels like a bigger gap between now and when your phone starts ringing, it means that when it does start ringing and when you are able to sort of take advantage of that long game of marketing, you're going to be ready for it. And so, I feel very strongly about taking advantage of the time that you have when things are slow to set yourself up for future success. It's that like future you will thank you. So I would love to talk sort of practically speaking about what that means. Like, what does setting up your fulfillment and your booking process look like? Does that work for you?
Yes. That's number one thing that I promise on this podcast is tangible and practical. So we're ready. We're ready for what you've got. We got our pen.
We agree on that subject. I'm like, cut out the fluff, get to the point. So I like to work backward. I feel like if you think about sort of the three systems in a business, it's finding clients, booking clients, and then serving those clients, right? And so I think a lot of people think about those systems in that order, start with marketing, then we'll worry about selling to them or booking them, and then we'll worry about fulfilling. But I like to flip that completely upside down. I like to start at the end and say, what is your system for delivering what you do? And the reason that I like to start there is that I know from my own experience, when I first started out, it was like kind of a fly by the seat of your pants situation. Every time that I got a client, I would, get really excited and I would dive into Pinterest and like put together a whole mood board for like, this is what this session is going to be like. And sometimes it went that way and sometimes it didn't go that way. And then I would finish the session. I would edit it. My editing system was pretty all over the place. I would, pick out my favorites and then I'd go back and then I'd do all this other stuff. But it was different every time. And then at the end, I was at the time doing in-person sales. I did have a bit of a system for that because someone else taught me that system. So I ran that part of it pretty, along the same rules. But that was, for me, I actually, when I look back and I say, I've been in business for 13 years now, that's a really successful run as a photographer. To what do I owe that longevity? I think it was the fact that in the beginning, I had at least that one system to anchor my business. So when someone called me, I had an answer for why is what you're offering different from what, this other photographer who's charging half of what you're charging, what's different? And I was able to say, I offer this in-person sales experience, da, da, da. Spoiler alert, I don't do that anymore, but it did give me the confidence and sort of the something to talk about when it came to why my process was different. Regardless of what your process is, like I said, that's not what I do anymore, but I do have a very specific step-by-step process that I use to deliver what I do. When I work with a family client, we go through this very specific process. And so I know, because I have dialed in my fulfillment system, I know exactly what I'm selling. And that brings us back to that booking and selling. So step one, if we're going to talk about practicalities, step one is really to identify and spell out your system. And when you're spelling it out, I want you to spell it out for yourself, because it's great to have a really solid checklist that you're following each and every time that you're working with someone. It means that you end up giving better service, you know, things are delivered on time because you know what you're doing. But I also want you to go through that checklist and at every single point, ask yourself, what is the benefit to my client of the way that I'm doing this? You know, whether it's the way that you deliver, how soon you turn around your photos after the session, you know, is it quick? Is it quick delivery? Great. Talk about how one of the benefits of working with you is that you turn your photos around quickly. Is it longer? Great. Talk about the fact that you hand edit every single image and deliver something that's really, you know, perfect and they never have to touch it or, you know, think about it. Are you getting people a final product on the walls, you know, so that they don't have to worry about it? Are you doing something that's all-inclusive digital and super easy for the client? Great. Talk about the benefits of that. Whatever your system is, make sure that you know exactly what all the talking points are for why it's great, why it's different, what they may encounter out there that makes you impossible to compare, right? You want to be the orange, not the other apple that they can make apples to apples. Does that make sense?
Makes complete sense. Yes. And so as I was sitting here listening to you talk about mapping or spelling out your system, well, I think one of the ways that I word this is like your client journey. Are we talking about the same thing? I just want to make sure. Perfect. So they, that way, when they're listening to this, they're like, okay, yes. Okay. So Brooke was talking about the client experience. Yes. This is the same thing, mapping it from, but backwards from the time that you are delivering things. And I always say, and beyond, because there's always fun touch points that you can add after that as well, but all the way back to what happens when they first find you / inquire with you. Okay, great. We're on the same page. I'm loving this. Keep going.
Great. So you've got this client journey. It's all spelled out. You've got your talking points. Now it's time to take that and turn it into a really solid system for booking. So when someone reaches out to you, how are you responding? How are you handling that inquiry? And I'm on like a one woman mission to convert the masses from, because the masses seem to answer every time I ask this question of photographers, you know, you get a contact, you know, somebody fills out your contact form on your website. What do you do? 99% of the time, the answer is I email them back and I send them my, you know, PDF / price list. And then I wait. And that kills me, because as much as I understand that it is easy to hit a, you know, hit reply and send off a PDF, and you've worked really hard on that beautiful PDF and it has all the information, because you want to be totally transparent. You don't want somebody to, you know, feel like they're getting the bait and switch or anything like that. So you want to give them all those reading materials. What you're essentially doing is sending them a pile of homework to do, and you are giving up all control of the way that they absorb that homework pile or handle that pile of homework. So, you know, whereas if they get that email from you and they open that PDF and they've got a 2-year-old on their lap and the puppy needs to go out to pee and whatever, and they glance through it, and yeah, your photos are beautiful. That's the reason they reached out to you in the first place. But going through all that reading material, trying to do that, asking them to do that makes it much, much less likely that they're going to get to the finish line, which is actually getting back to you and booking you. So my strong preference is that instead of sending someone all of your pricing and all of your stuff to sort through, you ask them to get on the phone with you. And this, I get tons of pushback about this, because I, especially for a younger generation, I have a 16-year-old who's like, Mom, nobody talks on the phone anymore. And I totally get that. But at the same time, I would say that that can help you stand out from the crowd. And then I would also say that there are alternatives. If you don't want to get on the phone, what I'm really looking for is a way for you to walk someone through the process quickly, thoroughly, but sort of highlighting the stuff that they need to know rather than focusing on the minutia. Because I think a lot of those pricing PDFs and stuff like that, it goes into all the detail about all the different stuff. And it's a lot for someone to try and make sense of. And then they just get confused and they're like, I'll deal with this next week. And then next week turns into next month, et cetera, et cetera. So the phone call alternative, or if you feel really strongly about not getting on the phone, I have several students who do videos. They record like Loom videos where they put their face on the screen. So it's personal. It's quick. It's easy to consume. It goes through the highlights. It makes you stand out from the crowd because getting a personalized video from someone is way more interesting and better than getting a PDF. And it just sort of cements your pitch in their mind. The thing that you want to make sure, whether you're on the phone with somebody or whether you send them a video, is that you then at the end of that talk about next steps. So you want to, the first part of your booking process should be to have some sort of FaceTime with that person. And then the second part is to create a booking process, like the actual signing of the paperwork and paying you and all that sort of stuff, that's super streamlined and easy. So I use a CRM. I recommend that everyone have a CRM. If you don't, you know, you can cobble this together with Google Forms and, you know, an online payment processor and that sort of thing. But, you know, the bottom line there is you just want to make it as, once they make that decision to buy with you, you want to make it as easy and fast for them to do that as possible.
Yes. Okay. Wow. So much good stuff here. A couple things that I wanted to bring up as well. So I 100% understand the value of speaking on the phone or even doing a Zoom call, or heck, the people who are either seniors or wedding photographers that meet them at coffee shops. I am here for all of that. And I see the power in it, because it is much more likely when you get to know someone that you want to work with them. And like you said, not everyone is doing these things. Now I will, you know, pull back the curtain. I have only ever spoken on the phone with probably like 10 inquiries the entire 9 years I've done photography. And so thankfully I haven't had to rely on that. But one thing, the other point that I want to bring up is this. I am someone that does create very strategic PDFs for certain steps of the client journey. And one of the things that I tell people all the time is, this is too long. This is too many pages. Nope, they're not going to read through all that. Way too much text on this page. And so I can definitely identify with it being overwhelming to people. An interesting thing that, again, pulling back the curtain and just having like this honest thing, we are in an era of video. We like truly, like that is how people are consuming content. And so something that I have actually been toying with, and I do have videos, so this is interesting that you're bringing this up, is to add in either let them see the video first. And like you said, sure, let's attach the shortened version of a PDF after maybe they choose the video to watch and equip them with a visual way of looking through everything later. So I do love these. And my students are all very different. They do, some choose phone calls. They would prefer that and they don't have any guides. Some of my students, they already have a video and it kind of takes them behind the scenes and shows them a little bit about their process and their studio if they're a newborn photographer or something like that. And so I think all of this is really helpful. But I feel like as time goes on, our human brains and attention spans, it just gets shorter and shorter and shorter. And so I do really love you bringing all of this up and these different variables. Now, for the person that has strong pushback on phone calls, let's just dig into this just for a minute. Mm-hmm. Give us a couple of tips. How do you actually get your clients on the phone? Do you get pushback from your own photography clients? And how do people get them on the phone?
Yeah, so great question. And I wanted to say just really quickly, if you have a process that is working for you, it can be the opposite of everything that I'm recommending, but if it's working for you, fantastic. I would not suggest that you change that. I figure when someone comes to you or comes to me and says, I am not booking enough people, well, then let's question all the parts of the process and let's see what we could try, what we could test and see if it works better. And I have a lot of students over the years who have fought me tooth and nail on, you know, I am busy. I have young kids in the house. I can't get on the phone with people, or I can't make videos. It seems time consuming and I can't get my hair done or whatever. I don't have the right equipment for it. And my answer is like, try it and try and make it easy. So I take phone calls in the car with, you know, potential clients, all that sort of stuff. You probably don't want to do that the first couple of times because you want to like be able to focus. But yeah, it does not have to be high tech. My videos are often straight up Looms. I actually had a student recently who was telling me that she had a PDF that she loved, but she could see on her CRM software that nobody was clicking on it, or like a very small proportion of people were actually opening it. So she started to make videos where it was her like picture in picture with the screen open with the PDF, and she just goes through the PDF as her video. I was like, that's brilliant. So it's brilliant. Again, it's the same information. She wasn't reading it. She was like, oh, and you know, in this section. And then she said that her open rates, or her click rates rather, on the PDF went way up because people were getting sort of the sneak peek of the PDF. So that's an idea too. But for somebody who's brand new to making videos or getting on the phone, a couple of tips. So if you really want to push people to contact you in a particular way, make that the number one easiest way to contact you. So on my photography homepage, or contact page rather, that's how you get in touch with me, is you sign up for a phone call. So I use Calendly. People just go in there and book a 15-minute call, and then I call them at the aforementioned time, or the scheduled time. And I have an automated email that goes out once they've booked that gives them like some, this is what we're going to talk about. So it gives them a little bit to get excited about. That is obviously, you know, that's putting all of your eggs in one basket. So if you don't feel super confident about that, you could have an automated response email that goes out when someone fills out your contact form that invites them to schedule a phone call. And if they don't schedule a phone call, then you could make a video for them and send that back. Or if video is the direction that you would prefer to go, when that inquiry comes in, you just make the video and then you hyperlink it in the email response and you go from there. There are tools out there that you can use, but you can also use the free stuff that we all have access to, you know, your native computer video recorder. You can do it on your phone. Like I said, make it easy. Don't make it expensive. Don't give yourself a bunch of tech headaches to deal with.
Okay, so good. Those are such good tips. And also, I wanted to point out that I love that you and I, as educators, have run our business in different ways and different formats and booking processes, and some of it's very similar. And so I think that's encouraging to people that, hey, we don't all have to be cookie cutter, but just I love hearing how other people are running a business and then picking and choosing things that are working for them that I would align with. So I'll tell you right off the bat, I don't mind making time for a phone call, but I naturally would lead more toward video, and that's just my personality. So I think that that's very interesting that there's different options. So that's the best part of the whole thing here. Another thing that I wanted to ask you before we even got into the booking system was, what mistakes, like one or two things, common mistakes that you see even among your own students and photographer community, what are some of the mistakes that they're making that you're like, oh, I wish they'd stop doing that? Or, you know, does anything come to mind?
Sure. Yeah. This is something that I think all business owners probably have some level of struggle with, but especially in our industry, I feel like as artists, as many of us are women, there is this tendency to want to, well, I think we go into this business in a very big-hearted way. And I love that about us. I love that about this industry. And I would never do anything to try and change that. However, I think that sometimes that leads us to make choices that are not only not helpful to our business, but ultimately they don't serve our clients. The two that come to mind right off the top of my mind are not putting parameters around people's time. So giving people deadlines and making things, you know, this is when we're going to do this, and creating a format. Now, that's not to say that you can't bend the rules once you've made those rules, but when you're super loosey-goosey about timelines, what ends up happening is that nothing ever gets done. And so let's talk about back to the fulfillment process. When you deliver a gallery, if you are someone who does either all-inclusive digital, or if you do, like, you can purchase different packages, or, you know, you can whatever, if it's anything other than like, we're going to sit down during an in-person sales meeting and you're going to buy stuff, what ends up happening is a lot of people will send the gallery. They get instant feedback that the person loves the photos and they're so excited and da 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 da. And then they're like, great, this is going to be a really big sale. And then like weeks and weeks and weeks go by and they're, you know, sending it an email like, hey, have you had a chance? And they're like, oh yeah, we're going to get around to it, but we haven't done it yet. And then like the next thing you know, their car breaks down, they need a new car, and like, whoops, the sale went down by 90%. I think it is so important to give people like, great, you can preview your gallery for, you know, I do 24 hours. Like you can look at your photos and make a decision and then you have, you know, and then you can make a decision about what you're going to purchase, but the photos go away. And that's like one tiny example in the process, but giving people a timeline and expectations, you have to educate them ahead of time and you want to educate them to, like I said before, in how those timelines benefit that person. It's not all about like, you're in my prison now and you have to obey my rules. Like you, obviously you're telling them like, I'm doing this because I know how busy we get. I know how busy, you know, I'm a mom too, and things fly out the window. So I'm going to give you these 24 hours. Make sure that you choose 24 hours that work for you and your partner. By doing that, not only does it help you protect your business and you're not having to follow up with people forever and ever and ever, but it also means that that person actually goes through and makes a decision, which is the only way that they're going to ultimately get the photos that they wanted to hire you for in the first place. So timelines, and then let's see, you asked and I was like, oh, I have two. And then one, and then I talked about that one and then my brain fell out. So yeah, those are kind of the two, that's the main one. But generally setting boundaries and limits is the overarching thing that I see people making a mistake because they don't do that for fear of offending or putting somebody out or inconveniencing their clients, when in fact, creating those boundaries is the only way to protect the process, and protecting the process is really the best way to deliver what you do best.
Yeah, that was so perfectly explained. And I could not agree more. I think a lot of times we're like, oh yeah, you can have 6 months to just have your gallery and make an order and do whatever you want to. But most of us thrive by calendars, timelines, deadlines, urgency. And that's what we need. A lot of us need that urgency and a reason to take action. Or as you said, then we don't, or yeah, we don't take an action, or we miss out on a sale or a booking or whatever the case may be. So, oh my goodness, you gave like so much good advice here and very, very practical things. You gave amazing ideas for people to take and implement. And it was very step-by-step. And so I appreciate you for that, because those are my favorite kind of episodes to listen to. Now, I know that you have an amazing podcast. Tell us a little bit about that and who it's for. And that way they can have another podcast to add to their list.
Yes. Oh my goodness. Love me a good podcast. I am all for like growing my role because I go through them so fast. Yeah. As I mentioned at the beginning, the show is called This Can't Be That Hard. My tagline is I help photographers run profitable, sustainable businesses that they love. But I think that our shows have a lot in common. There is a lot of practical how-to. I do a mix of solo shows and interviews. And yeah, if you are in business as a photographer or thinking about going into business as a photographer, I would like to think that I have some value to share.
I know you do, because this was one episode, one conversation, and it was packed with value. So I'm excited for you to get some new listeners and so they can binge all of your amazing advice as well. So thank you for your time, your knowledge. It is so appreciated. And I am excited to air this so that everyone can hear it.
No, Brooke, I appreciate it. I love your show and I'm honored to be here. And yeah, when you said come with actionable tips, I did my homework and wanted to make sure that I did that because I know your audience loves that.
You did a great job. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thanks for tuning into another episode of the Book More Clients Photography Podcast. If you're loving the content, can you take just 2 minutes and do me the biggest favor? Share your love for the show by leaving a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, or take a screenshot and share the show to your social media. I'm on a mission to transform our photography industry, and the best way to reach others is to share the show. I'll catch you on the next episode.